especially since I became Christian, I always felt like I was behind people. Like, oh, dang, it's too late for me. It's too late. Like, I always felt like I was just, like, lacking. And it even poured into other things like music, you know? Like, oh, dang, they have these amount of streams. They have this amount of followers. Like, I always felt like I was just behind. But, like, I ended up realizing that, like, God has me in this season and this place for a reason.
Yeah.
And instead of feeling like I'm behind these people, why don't I just learn from these people to get ahead, you know? And that's kind of what I like learned. Like, instead of like when people are talking about these things I don't know, or when people, where I feel like people are ahead of me, instead of like trying to like, okay, like I feel like I'm behind, let me try to like beat them, like let me learn from you, you know? And that's helped me so much.
Welcome back to the Broken Minds Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Poetics, and here at Broken Minds we talk about your hardest trauma so that you don't have to live it alone. And today we have a special interview with Isaac Mansfield. And hey, we've been having amazing conversations over the last couple of weeks with so many artists. And honestly, this conversation kind of just tops them all. We talk about our purpose like never before. We talk about how we dive into our artistry. We talk about everything that you need to know to equip you to start your work, to start what you want to do for God and absolutely pursue it like never before. And hey, before we get to this amazing conversation that you do not want to miss, I just want to plug you in on a couple of things that's going on with the Broken Minds Podcast or network. Hey, we have a network of podcasts, including Broken Minds, Uncut Demeanor, and Monarch Madness. And when I tell you Monarch Madness, look, y'all, if you want to know the madness of life, maybe you're going through the madness of life. Maybe you're in a situation where it's just kind of crazy and it's just, you don't really know how to get centered with God right now. I feel like you should tune in to Monarch Madness, hosted by Shakita Robinson. It's an amazing interview platform. And hey, if you want to be interviewed on this platform, definitely check in the link below and get connected. But let's not talk for her. Let's let her explain what Monarch Madness is. Hey, take a listen to this.
Hey y'all, welcome to Monarch Madness, where we talk about faith, fashion, art, and everything in between. My name is Shakita, and our goal here is to uplift and free individual mindsets from worldly groupthink. I've had and seen experiences that pushed me to make it my job to reconnect the church and make it a fun environment. This platform is a space where the experiences of others and their walk with Christ will be the answer to someone's prayer. It is the encouragement to keep going or to start, whether in your walk or that project that's been staring you down. Our goal is to initiate revival in the heart and to let it spread like wildfire. I know, kind of deep. No worries though. As we take this journey, the biggest priority is to have fun, be ourselves, and feel truly welcomed by Christ, where we're allowed to be, to speak, and to ask. This is home. So as we step in the room, I hope we're feeling valued and valuable as God's children in the kingdom. And don't forget to find us at monarch.madness on YouTube, and let's get active.
Well, y'all, that was so amazing. Hey, get plugged into Monarch Madness today and just be a part of the madness of life. But hey, that's not the only thing that the Broken Minds provides. We have an amazing community. Like, when I tell you, if you are a Christian artist, calling all Christian artists, if you are a Christian artist and if you are looking for a community to share your works, collaborate with others, and absolutely just praise God, definitely link up with us in our WhatsApp group chat. Look, we have so many artists for you to connect and collab with. And matter of fact, we also do discussion questions where you can have your voice heard on the podcast. Hey, I just want to let you know on just a little bit of our community by sharing a discussion question from our community. Hey, this discussion question is based on our conversation with Isaac Mansfield, and it goes as follows. What is that one thing that's prohibiting you from walking into your calling of God? Whether you have already trampled over it and walking into your calling of God, or is it still affecting you and still prohibiting your walk? Hey, listen to iPinky give her response to this question.
Whew, let me tell you, I was afraid of how big my calling was, right? Because I see it still right now that my calling is big. What God has for me is humongous, is huge. And I just felt like I was such a broken vessel, which I still low-key feel it. But I feel like a broken vessel, and I don't feel like I'm good enough because of my past, the things I indulged in, the things that I was doing, and the people I surrounded with, and the lifestyle that I grew up in, and the things that happened to me as a child. I've been messed up mentally since I was young. So for 30 years, I've been on that same mental, and now I'm trying to break free from it, and it's becoming so hard because I've got used to that, what I thought was love. And God's love is the real love. But it's so strong that I just feel like I'm not good enough for it. So I keep going back.
Well, hey, you have waited long enough. Now it's time to finally get to this interview. Hey, I asked Isaac Mansfield, what is the definition of a broken mind? And here's what he said. A broken mind is a divided mind. Hey, let's tap into this conversation. Subscribe to the newsletter down below, and I'll see y'all in the next one. Love y'all. Peace.
Yeah. For me, like, I know, like, just in all the times that I felt the most, like, lost and was broken is when my mind was divided between two things, two decisions, two outcomes, two people, you know, all the time. And yeah. I think I really started to understand it once my parents divorced because that was the biggest divide ever, you know. Like, now it's like, which parent? Like, am I on my dad, my mom? So, like, you know, it's that whole thing. And I feel like that's when I started to realize, like, dang, like, the reason people are having, like, these depressions and all these, like, broken times is because they're divided between something, you know. And I know for me that's always been the case, because, like, even in the, like, when I'll get stressed about the future or something like that, like, it's because I'm divided between two different things that can happen, or multiple things that can happen. So I feel like for me, like, the reason I say divided is because I just feel like when your mind is not set on one thing, which is Jesus, like, it's going to be hard. And so you're going to feel broken because you're stuck in the in-between of this thing or that thing, or this way or this, that way, you know? Yeah. And it's hard. Yeah, for sure.
Normally, when we talk about division in, like, Christian space, we're mostly referring to being lukewarm. And touching on lukewarmness, what do you think about the people who decide, oh, yeah, I'm going to live this life for Christ, but I'm also going to smoke, drink, and go to the club and party? Like, what do you think about that? How does that strike you a different way?
And, like, when I think about that, I just think about a divided mind. Like, once again, I just feel like your mind is divided between, am I going to go all in, or am I going to still give into these things that I desire, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to, like, the drinking and smoking and all these things, like, it clearly says in the Bible, like, to not have idols, do not have things you run to besides God. You know, God should be your one thing. And I feel like something that I heard was, like, we tend to have, like, God as our first thing, but then we have a two and a three and a four. And, we're not called to have a two, three, and a four. You know, like, if you had a girlfriend or a wife and she was saying, yeah, like, you're my one thing, but, like, I still have a two, three, and a four I can run to, you know, if I need to. Like, no, like, God wants your full time, your full focus on him to be your one thing, not your number one thing, you know? And I feel like when we have these two or three things, it causes us to be, like, lukewarm, because we have the two or other things that we run to instead of making God our one thing, you know? And that's why I feel like people always say, like, God first, but, like, what about your second and your third, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It should be just, it's our only one.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you actually gave a really great example. Like, we tend to see God as this overarching, he's my protector, Jehovah Jireh, provider, all that stuff. But when you break it down to, like, a actual thing, it's like, yo, if I had a wife, I'm not having two side chicks. That's not what I'm doing. Like, so why, as we as Christians, decide that we can serve God but also have these little things on the side? Like, we can also look up to the stars and start saying, hey, I'm a this and I'm a this rising. No, no. So from your point of view, like, let me in on the story of you as a Christian. Like, were you born into the church? Did you later come to Jesus? Like, let us in on that side of your story as it comes to your walk with Christ.
So I didn't grow up in church. I grew up like with Christian, like, I wouldn't even say Christian. I was just like, I grew up with churchgoers in my family. Like, I had like an uncle who went to church, an aunt who went to church and stuff like that. And they would like say things here and there, but like, it never really, like, it wasn't enough to where like I could understand. So I wouldn't say like, up in church or grew up around Christian life. Like, me and my family, like my core family, we just grew up doing whatever the world did, you know, whatever was next popular. We just rode the world to the wave. And I didn't really grow up knowing about Jesus or what he did or who he was, you know. Like, so I became Christian when I was 16. My parents, like, they were together for majority of my life, and then they ended up splitting just due to mental illness and different like aspects in that. And because of that, like, I was just so done with life, you know, like, just having gone through all these things at this age, like, having going through the arguments and all the rough nights that I've been through, I was just like, yeah, I'm tired of this, done. Contemplated suicide many times. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I was life. And then like one night I was like just crying out to God, because I just like, my mom like already had given her life to Christ a couple like weeks before that, like a month or two before that, due to my grandma, which is amazing. And my mom would like plant seeds here and there, just like, oh, let's do this Bible study real quick, because she was still learning about faith because she was new to it. But she would talk about God from here to here and there. And I just remember one night, like, me crying in my bed, and I'm just like, God, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm tired of life. Like, I just want to die. Like, I don't know. And as I'm like just doing this, calling out to him, I just feel the presence of God for the first time ever. And at that time, I didn't know what it was, obviously, because I wasn't Christian or anything. So I was just like, whoa, that's crazy. But like, in the back of my mind, I had a feeling like, oh, that was God.
Yeah.
I just like continued to like be more invested in the Bible study, be more invested in what my mom was talking about. With my grand, because my grandma was always Christian. She's the reason that like my mom became Christian. She's the reason that I became Christian. So like, I just started to be more in tune with what they were talking about, and started reading my word for myself. And eventually, I just continued to walk this life, you know.
And that's kind of the same thing that happened with me back in 2021. I've been born in the church. I've always been in the church. My father is a traveling worship leader, so I always knew church stuff, even as a tiny child. But I never fully gave my life to Christ, like me personally, for myself, until I was 18, back in 2021. And I just started actually reading the Bible, like, for myself, and like, getting into the scripture. And then I started comparing what I was reading in the Bible and what God was showing me to the situation that I was in as far as church goes, and it just wasn't aligning. And I was like, something is just not right. So what I decided to do was I gave up on God, because I'm like, well, if your people are over here acting like this, then why should I pay attention to it? So that's exactly what I did. And then 7 days later, with conversations with my father and my brother, they really like pushed me towards like restarting my faith walk and not just giving up on the church in general, just because I went through that experience. It's just a story of learning God for yourself and building that personal relationship. So for you as an artist, let's touch on, how did you become an artist? Like, what was that defining moment that's gonna say, yeah, this is my life now, like, this is what I'm gonna do? How did you get into music?
Well this is actually such a long story. So I was born doing music. Like, my father was a rapper, and they like, my mom will tell you that, like, when I was in her belly, like when I was like when she was pregnant, my dad would like put headphones on like her stomach and just play beats.
Wow.
Like, you know? I was really like, just like, I grew up going to the studio. Like, rap has always been my life. Like, you can literally find like a video of me like when I was like 4 years old just freestyling, you know. Like, that's just stuff like I was always doing that stuff. I grew up like this. Like, this just really shows that it's God, because I just grew up with this gifting and talent. Like, this wasn't something I really had to like work for, per se. Like, I didn't up and like dang, I want to be a rapper. Let me start working. Just like, obviously, like, the other side of it. But, like, having just the talent to rap and, like, know music, like, is something I was born with, and I thank God for that. It's amazing. And, like, as time went on, like, I just saw that, like, I always loved doing it. I just, that's how I grew up, you know. It's something that's, it's, like, a part of life for me. And when I became, gave my life to Christ, I was like, okay, I have this gifting. Might as well just do it, you know. Like, yeah. What's the, like, I felt like God really gave me a call to do it. Like, he said, like, go, or, like, I heard the voice of God or something. It's more of just, like, a practical thing of, like, okay. So, like, what I realized a calling is for me is these three questions that one of my professors asked me. He said, do you excel at it? You love it? And does it matter? That's the three questions. And I remember thinking back, I'm like, okay, like, I excel at this. Like, and it's not even just me thinking that, but, like, the people around me, my community, the people who don't even live near me, but who know my music, they say, like, oh yeah, you're good at this. Like, you have a gifting. And then, does it matter? And I'm like, I'm seeing that I'm reaching thousands upon thousands of people using this music, planting seeds. Like, the testimonies that I get texted of, like, oh, like, you helped me give up secular music, or you helped me learn more about God, like, these things that I'm hearing. Like, I want to give my life to God now. Like, these, it obviously matters. And then, do I love it? I'm like, I've been loving it since the day I was born, you know? So, like, I kind of took that. I'm like, okay, like, the Lord, like, is guiding me in this way. And now I'm just riding that wave, you know? I'm just waiting to see, like, how it's going to unfold in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. And coming back to that question, how are you using the word of God, like the Bible, into your music? Like, obviously the lyrics are, like, completely infused that way. But if you can give us a couple of stories of maybe you had a show where you just had a all-out prayer session, like, what are some situations that you have been in with your shows that have really brought out the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's so good. That's good. I know for me, like, I've done a couple of shows just out of the state and stuff like that. And what really makes me, like, just enjoy music is how ministry and music are so the same, you know. Like, I've done ministry, like, in a church for, like, a year now, and just serving, being a leader, understanding, like, everything in a church, like, what goes behind it. Like, I've been in the meetings, all those things. And I've, like, the things that pastors do, the things that these people in church do are, like, are the same thing that we are doing. Just, we're adding music to it. That's really all it is. And it really hit me because, like, I had this one show in Massachusetts, and we went out. I had a show there, and we're going, like, me, De La Cruz, Benny, like, Great Laz, like, a bunch of, like, artists that were performing. We were going around the city just meeting new people, making connections. We were praying over people in the stores. Like,
amen.
One woman who, like, she didn't even speak English, but so, like, we had De La Cruz translate for us as we prayed for her.
Wow.
And it was just like, it felt like I was in the Bible, you know, like, you know, those, like, how in the Bible they go out and, like, they'll go to these different places. And, like, and that's what I, another time, like, we had a performance, me, Great, and Vinny, and I think it's called Seminole Floors, like, Tampa around there. And, like, I came over there, and we got to connect with all these different people, hear testimonies, share our testimonies. And in a place we've never been to, you know, and make these strong connections with people, and like, got to talk to these people, got to give them energy and, like, connect. And it's just like, dang, like, I love this, you know, like, it's way more than just recording a song, but, like, I'm living out the word of God. Like, I'm going out to these different places and making disciples, you know, like, it's so good to see. It's so cool to, like, be in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And with that word, making disciples, that's pretty much the most important part of our Christian walk. Yeah. It's cool to be in the church. It's cool to have, you know, that family, that community, but it's also going out. I was actually in January, I went to see Richard Lorenzo. He came to Baltimore, where I'm from. And that was my first, like, interaction with him. A friend invited me out, and he said something very, like, controversial. He said, well, if you're only talking to God with your Christian friends, you need to repent. And I was like, whoa. I was like, the more that I think about it, I should be the one out there, you know, doing what Richard Lorenzo's doing, going out to malls and schools and, like, sharing the gospel and praying for people and everything like that. So what you are doing and what the community around you is doing is so impactful to every single person. Like, and the thing about it is, you don't even know what you're impacting. Like, you don't even know what your music is doing to other people on a personal level. So I just want to ask, like, how have you seen the growth of your platform? And look, it's not your platform because we are vessels for God, but I just want to ask, how have you seen God grow this? Was it a slow process, or did it kind of happen overnight, like a kind of overnight success? How have you seen that growth?
I would say it was more of a slow process, you know, like it took time, it took effort. But like for me, I know like this is kind of how I knew that I needed to keep doing music. I gave up on music for a while, for like a month and a half. I just didn't enjoy it anymore, kind of. Like, I just had that feeling of, like, I want to try something different. And that's when I really started giving, like, my time to the church, like, really just diving deep into, like, going and doing all these things in the church, you know? Because I felt like, because I kind of had, like, I wouldn't say it's a conviction, but I had this idea that, oh, I'm not doing enough because all these people around me are, like, becoming pastors or preaching. And I was like, oh, damn, I'm not doing that. So I feel like I'm not being a good Christian. And I kind of got hit with that. So I was like, okay, but let me go, like, try to become a pastor now, you know. So I'm, like, giving all my time to the church. I, like, completely just stopped running my music. I stopped posting. I just kind of let it go. And in that season where I stopped posting, that's where I saw the most growth ever. I was, like, I was mind blown. Because, like, my 10, 20,000 went to like 200,000, and wow. I was like, whoa. And I'm just like, and mind you, like, I'm not doing it. I'm not promoting anything. I'm just kind of like just sitting there, like literally not even worrying about it. Like, and I was like, wow. And in that whole time, like, I like kind of realized that, wow, like all the things that I'm doing in this church, I could be doing and making music. Like, I could be doing when I go perform, like all these things that I'm learning from them. And I don't regret like going into ministry for a while, because it did teach me so much. But I feel like a lot of people, like a lot of Christians, just like, they think, well, because Rich or Lorenzo is going out and doing all these things, or because this pastor is going out and doing things, or because my friend is doing this, like, I have to do that same thing in order to be a good Christian. But like, God has a call in your life that's unique to you, you know? And when I realized that, like, wow, like, I don't have to be a pastor like all my friends are. I don't have to be in the church. I don't have to be a deacon. I don't have to be an evangelist. Like, all I have to do is follow God. Yep. And if God is using my music to reach people and impact people, I'm going to do music because I see that that's where his fruit is growing, you know? But it took me a while to realize that. Like, it took me a long time, because I was really like, I just felt like because everybody else is doing something different that I wasn't doing the right thing. Yeah. But it's not that I was just doing something different than them, you know? And I just pray that like Christians can realize that like you don't need to be a pastor to be a good Christian. You don't need to be in a church, or you don't need to be like a head of a church, you know, like do what God has called you to do, not what God has called them to do, you know? Yeah. And I had to learn that.
So in Proverbs 22:29, coming from the New King James Version, it says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." And exactly what you said is accurate. It's like, I don't have to be a pastor in order to minister to people. And I think people get so caught up on the title. Oh, I got to be a pastor. I got to be a minister. If I'm not a deacon in the church, I'm a failure at life. Like, being a servant of God is our calling, like 100% our calling. It doesn't matter if you're in the pews. It doesn't matter if you're releasing music. It's just being a servant of God is the most important thing.
Amen.
To that point, how would you get your audience to do what you're doing now? Because what you're doing now, you started somewhere. What would you say to somebody to get them to start that initiative, to get them to start what they have passion to do?
Yeah. What I'll say to them, I would ask them these three questions, and I want them to think about it. It's like, do you excel at something? Do you love that thing? And does it matter to the kingdom of God? And whatever you have that can answer all three of those questions correctly, then go after that, you know? Like, and if God has given you a call, do not just sit on the call, but go test drive your call. You know, if you feel like God is leading you towards something, go out and do it. No matter if you're working 9 to 5 or you're like whatever, like go out and try that thing, because if we sit on a calling for too long, then all the people that could be impacted in the season right now, you could miss out on, you know? And I feel like sometimes we end up missing out on what God is trying to do with our lives and do in our lives because we are stuck on this idea that, well, I don't know if I'm fit for the calling right now, or I don't know, you know, when God is saying that, like, call you because you're equipped, but I equipped you when you step into the thing that I'm calling you into.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of Christians feel like, well, I need to be equipped first, you know, and God is saying, no, I'll equip you along the way. I'll make you better at photography. I'll make you better at videography. I'll make you better at social media. I'll make you better at rapping. I'll equip you along the way. Just go out and do what I'm calling you to do, you know? That's the encouragement I really want my community to have, you know?
Yeah. And actually, you posted, you reposted a song of yours, just about a week ago, and it was called Man From Dust. And I heard that song and I immediately went to iTunes and I bought the song. No, seriously, walk me through that entire track. Like, what was the background behind it and how did it come to be?
I was just kind of going through beats that day, the beats that I had. And I just found that beat. And I honestly, like, when I made the song, I did not like it. Like, and that's crazy because, like, that's probably, like, it's a very popular song. A lot of people like it. But when I first made it, I didn't really like it that much. I was going through the song, and that Man From Dust part is, like, I was just thinking about, like, just, like, the EP that I have from Border on Man. And I was just, like, dang, like, God really, like, created us out of nothing, like, only out of, like, his breath. Like, so I just added, like, and God made me a man from boy and a boy from the dust, you know? And he's going to continue to make me more. He's just continuously growing me.
Amen.
But it's just a show how far I've come, like, to become a man now, you know, from dust, like, literally from nothing, you know? It's not even just about, like, being creative, but also my life, you know, like, coming from in my sin to, like, now, you know, there's so much growth in that whole dust to man era and even dust to woman era, you know, that there's so much growth there that God is doing. I love that track. It's probably one of my favorites, you know, that's out now. But when I made it, I didn't really rock with it. I actually contemplated, like, not dropping it.
Jeez.
So I was like, I really didn't get that much, you know, but after just, like, seeing people, like, enjoying it, I was like, okay, I'll release it, you know? And it's become, like, a big song that a lot of people like, you know? But, it really is, like, it's that whole creation thing of, like, how far you can come, you know? Like, from being from dust to man, you know? God really, like, created you and has a plan for you, for sure.
And that's 100%. So, meeting man from dust and just being brought up from zero to who you are today, there's definitely going to be some positives with that, but there's definitely going to be some drawbacks. And on this platform, we really want to hone in on all the adversity of life and all the trials and tribulations that we as teens, we as young adults, we go through. So if you've had any experiences that you've really struggled with, and I know a lot of our audiences also struggle with those things, if you can, like, speak towards the adversity and how to get over these things and how to triumph through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the biggest adversities I've been through is really, like, the difference in not being Christian and being Christian, you know? And how being around Christians who are always Christian is super hard. Because, like, I go to a school called Southeastern, right? And a lot of the people at the school, like, were raised in the church.
Yeah.
They grew up in the church. They were always Christian their whole lives. So, like, talking to these people who, like, always been in church and me, like, just now going to church, me just, like, realizing who God is and all that stuff, like, me learning, like, I always felt like I was behind. And that's probably one of the, like, biggest adversities that I've had to deal with as a Christian is, like, especially since I became Christian, I always felt like I was behind people. Like, oh, dang, it's too late for me. It's too late. Like, I always felt like I was just, like, lacking. And it even poured into other things like music, you know? Like, oh, dang, they have these amount of streams. They have this amount of followers. Like, I always felt like I was just behind. But, I ended up realizing that, like, God has me in this season and this place for a reason.
Yeah.
And instead of feeling like I'm behind these people, why don't I just learn from these people to get ahead, you know? And that's kind of what I've, like, learned. Like, instead of, like, when people are talking about these things I don't know or when people, when I feel like people are ahead of me, instead of like trying to like, okay, like I feel like I'm behind, let me try to like beat them. Like, let me learn from you, you know? And that's helped me so much. Like now I like walk with people. I have pastors that I talk to, and different like leaders that I walk with and talk with who pour into me. And I know they're, but it doesn't like make me less of a Christian or less of a person. It just shows me that I have room to grow.
Yeah.
And if I know I'm behind, now it's my season to learn and adapt. And like even in music, like I talk with TJ sometimes. We text back and forth, TJ Carroll, if you know him. And he is farther than me in music. Like he has 60,000 monthly listeners, you know, like he is farther, he has a bigger fan base, he's been doing it longer than me. And I text him like, yo, like I wanna learn more. Like I wanna be better at what I'm doing. I wanna be more effective. And if you can help me, you know. And he's been helping me, and he's been teaching me, talking with me, sending me stuff to like understand and learn from. So it's just like that. Like I feel like one of the biggest things that I've dealt with is like always feeling like I was behind people.
Yeah.
But like really, like I'm behind for a reason. And the reason I'm behind is so I can learn from these people ahead of me and do it better. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and because like now I don't have like, for example, like one of my friends, he went through a bad relationship, and because he was ahead of me in life, I was able to learn that from him and avoid being in a bad relationship, you know. And I feel like sometimes as Christians we get caught up in like, oh, I'm behind everyone, like I need to do better, I need to do more. But it's like, no, like learn from the people who are ahead of you so you won't have to go through the mistakes that they went through, you know. That's like the advice that I would try to give in that.
Yeah, it really just is community at the end of the day. It really just has like getting a couple of people around you and to encourage you and to pour into you and for those people to steward you through what you're doing. Because when we are artists, we are creative and we just have a giant spew of ideas that we want to get out there, but we don't have any direction to point us in a specific way. So for you being in your position now, you've gotten direction. You've gone to the people. You have your people that you text and everything like that. But for a newer artist, maybe a newer artist is listening right now, what are like, when it comes to the music business specifically CHH and doing this for Jesus Christ, what are a few things to pay attention to and to really hone in, like maybe some lessons that you've learned in the business or some avenues, or just put people on game right now and just give them a kind of a roadmap of how to do this artist life?
Yeah, for sure. First thing I'll say, and this may sound like Christianese, but like you genuinely can't do it without God. I've realized that like all the time I try to do it out of my own strength, it doesn't work, you know. Like the only way I make my best songs is if I spend time with God, you know.
Yeah.
And I pour out the things that he's given me and he's poured into me, you know. Like this music stuff, especially in the CHH space, especially as a Christian, like all you're doing is pouring out the cut that you have on these beats, on these songs, and then giving it to people so they can be encouraged, they can be. And but if you're not already getting filled by God, then that's going to be hard to do. But outside of that, just music stuff, like I would say just be consistent, you know. Take your time to learn from like YouTube. Like a lot of things that I've learned, like mixing, making beats, also I learned from YouTube. Like go to YouTube University, you know, search some stuff up. And I would say just take time right now, because like if you're a small artist, there's no expectancy on you. There's no one watching you, there's no fans, right? So right now all you can do is just get good, like get better. Start working on your mixing, start working on your mastering, start working on all these things, because there's no fans. It's like, oh, when is he going to drop? Like, you know, if you're in a space where there's nobody expecting you to do stuff, take that entire time to grow, you know? So then when you come into that stage where, like, people are expecting stuff from you, then you have stuff ready. Then it's easy for you to do these things, you know, because you've already learned, you already adapted, you already have your own routine now, you know? Like, oh, like, when I record, like, I know, like, I have a, like, my stuff ready, like I have the beat, I have like, so I don't have to like, oh, I have to like learn how to make a beat real quick and learn how to do all this, you know. Like I took that time when nobody was expecting stuff from me to learn and grow. So now when I have a fan base, it's like, oh, when's the next album, or when's the, like, oh yeah, I can get that done, you know, because I took that time when nobody was there to actually work on my craft, you know. And I would say in this season where like you might not have like a lot of fans, you may not have a bunch of people waiting for you to drop, like take your time on your craft, build your craft, just keep recording, keep recording, keep recording. learning, keep listening to songs that you like, trying to like learn how to do that type of style. If you like that style, like keep practicing, you know, it takes time. Like it's like a muscle. Like you have to train it, you have to train it, you have to train it. And when it comes to like, when you have your craft ready and you have your style done, like then just start promoting it, you know, like don't be shy to make content, like make funny content that people are going to engage with, you know, like you got to think about it. Like when you scroll, mm-hmm. if that video eye in the first couple seconds, you're just scrolling to the next thing, you know, like you gotta, like you have to make content with the idea that nobody wants to watch your content and you have to make the content, you know. Yeah. And don't make it where like, hey guys, please stream my song, you know, like make it fun, make it engaging, make it something people want to watch, you know. But that's only if you're like already got your craft set and everything else, you know. But yeah, that's my advice. Really, like if you're in that season where you don't have a lot of eyes on you, you don't have a lot of fans, like just take that time to build your craft and get good, you know, get better for sure.
Yeah. I'd say this question on every single interview. What are three bullet point things? And I know you've already got your three down, but I want to see if you can pull up another three. What are three bullet point things that you can say to another person that will influence them to walk this life with Christ?
First thing is like, I'll ask them like, do you feel satisfied right now?
Mm.
It's probably asking, do you feel satisfied in life? Like, do you feel like you actually accomplished like life? Do you feel like, you know? And something that I heard from, it was, I think it's from Jim Carrey. He was like, I wish everybody in the world could have what they want so they can realize that it's not enough.
Wow.
At the end of the day, you can have everything you want and you still realize it's not enough if you don't have Jesus. So one thing I ask, like, are you satisfied? You know, like, are you actually happy in life right now? Like, think about it. Like, are you actually happy? And then, like, another thing is I'll just ask, like, do you know where you're going when you die? You know, I probably won't ask that off of it, but that's yeah. like a concept. Do you know, like, do you have assurance that like, oh, when things go wrong, like you have something to lean back on, you know, like, what's your foundation right now in life? And then for my third thing, I'll just ask like, do you want a change in your life or do you want to be comfortable? Like,
wow.
Like, do you want to live something for something better? Or do you want to just stay in where you're at? Because, like, I can preach to everybody, but not everybody wants to be preached to, you know? I can talk to everybody about God, but not everybody wants to hear about God. So you really have to see, like, do you want it? Because, like, at the end of the day, you can't make no one Christian. They have to want it for themselves. Yeah. So really bringing it out and asking them, like, do you want to live the life you're living or do you want to change? Like, it's simple. Like, do you want to stay comfortable or do you want to step into something bigger than you? And that's probably the biggest thing, like stepping out of that comfortability and leaving that for something that's bigger than you, someone that's bigger than you, you know? Yeah.
And expounding more on comfortability, definitely when it comes to art, even when it comes to faith, we cannot like fully appreciate the value of life until we step out of our comfort zone. Like me, I was 100% an introvert. Like, this podcast thing is not my vibe, but I saw a problem that had to be fixed and I stepped in and I said, hey, no, this has to be addressed. And I stepped out of my comfort zone and just watched God work. So for the people listening, stepping out of your comfort zone is a big task. How would you explain to them and break it down for them?
For something that really helped me with stepping out of my comfort zone is asking the question of, like, what would happen if you did step out? Like, really, like, what would happen? Like, what are the pros? What are the cons? Like, really, like, the reason somebody stays stuck in the comfort zone is because they don't want to risk something.
Mm.
So the question is, like, is the thing that you will accomplish if you step out of your comfort zone worth the risk? If not, then don't step out of your comfort zone. You know, like, for me, like, I know, like, I preached for the first time, right, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I obviously, like, I've never done that before. And doing that, I had to step out of my comfort zone because I've never, like, preached before. Like, I performed, and performing is so much different than preaching, because preaching is, like, you have to speak. You have to be authentic with what yep. you're saying. Yeah, pointing back to scripture, you know, like, I can be on a stage and perform a song, but preaching God's word to people is completely different, you know? And I had to think to myself, like, is getting, like, to preach to these kids and getting the word to these kids and helping these kids understand the word worth the risk of me feeling embarrassed or worth the risk of me having a cracked voice? Or is it worth that risk? And I had to realize that, yes, it is. Because if these kids, right, if I say I won't do that, then these kids miss out on the word that God has given me to give them.
Yeah.
You know, that's my fault because I took that away from them. So, like, for anyone who's, like, not willing to step out of the comfort zone, like, you really just have to come down to, like, is the thing that you can accomplish if you do step out worth the risk? That's really much it. And if you realize that, okay, this is worth the risk, I have to step out, you know? And it's definitely hard. It's not easy at all. Stepping out of comfort zone is probably one of the hardest things humans can do, because humans are attuned for comfort. Like, that's what we want. It's what we desire. We desire comfort. And just leaving that willingly is, like, one of the hardest things to, like, do for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also being a follower of Jesus Christ, like, it's definitely warranted. It's definitely something that we should be not even, like, thinking about, but always stepping into, which is a difficult ask for people who, you know, they're new in their faith and, you know, there's some grace there. But when you start to, like, actually start reading your Bible, start praying, start meditating on the word, it's now time to, like, start, you know, stepping out and say, hey, I see you at church a couple of times. Hey, how you doing? Like, how's your faith walk? How can I minister to you today? How can I teach you something? How can I share with you a word? Because let's be honest, we're creatives. You can put out a million songs and I can put out a million podcast episodes. But if God is not at the center of it, it's kind of useless. It's really useless.
Yeah.
So for this ending of this subject, what would you say to somebody who is in fear? They have a dream, whether it's preaching, whether it's songwriting, whether it's poetry, whatever they want to do, but they're under fear. How would you encourage them to break that fear and to get into a space where they're operating under the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. I think the only way, I wouldn't say the only way, but one of the best ways for me, like, to just let go of that fear is to realize, like, the benefit behind what you're doing. Like, the reason you're scared is because, like, multiple to the reasons, but, like, things I can think of is, like, oh, you're afraid of if it fails, or you're afraid of how you look when something happens, you know? And I think it's really realizing that, like, if this is what God has planned for your life, it will succeed, like, no matter what, like, because that's the plan that God has for your life. And if you're walking in that, it's going to succeed, you know? And, yeah. And it comes down to just I feel like fear is the enemy of faith,
because
the reason we fear is because we don't know what's going to happen. And then the faith is the same thing. We have hope and assurance in the things that we don't know is going to happen. So it's like it's the opposite of each other. So, like, when you have fear, it's going to kill your faith. And the only way to combat fear is with faith in Jesus, you know, like, faith in the call, faith in the thing that God is showing you. You know, like, so many pastors who, like, wanted to quit ministry, like, wanted to give up, but they remember the call. They remember the vision that God has given them, like, the ideas and the plan that God has given them, you know? And if you don't have that faith and assurance in things, in God, in the things that God is showing you, then, like, yes, fear is going to creep in, and fear is going to win. But if you have the faith to remember, oh, God told me this, or God showed me this, or given me this ability, or God is with me, God has his hand on my life, God has anointed me, like, then that's what combats that fear, you know? If you do not rely on God to really have that remembrance, like, oh, God told me, God showed me, God is giving me this, or God is helping me in this, like, then fear is going to win in your life, you know?
Yeah. And kind of closing out that subject, let's talk about the future of what your music is, what it represents, any new projects coming out. And just talk about your music in general in this current season of your life.
For sure. In this current season, music is going to be looking a little different. Not too crazy. I've changed up kind of like how my music looks. Like, I've changed, like, a black and white look to kind of just, like, make it all look similar, make it look appealing to the eye and stuff like that. But for music, I'm continuing to just do the same, but, like, branch out and try to do beats, new things, new ideas. I'm trying to work with more people this coming up year. I have ideas in plan, people that I'm in contact with that I'm trying to work with right now. I'm dropping a song with Michael Love. Hey. He's a great artist. I've met him at Joyful Noise. We've connected after that. We've kind of talked. We chopped it up a couple of times. I love his music, you know. TJ, got some ideas and plans with him. And there's so much stuff coming up. You know, Benny, I always got ideas and plans with Benny, bro. But I'm planning. I might drop two albums this year.
Hey, that's three.
I dropped one in January, so, like, I already dropped one this year, so, because I might drop two more albums this year. I don't know for sure, that's just an idea, that's just a maybe, but we'll see what happens. And right now, the plan is just dropping singles every week, so I'm just dropping stuff every week to just have stuff for y'all, you know, like, to feed the sheep, you know, have stuff that y'all can go off of and have just some music y'all can listen to to just defeat their music, you know. That's the plan. Planning some trying to get some shows in. We'll see how that works. I'm still in contact about those things, but right now for that set in stone is, like, stuff is going to be dropping every week for sure. I'm making sure that's a demand, you know, just for consistency and for the people, you know, to feed the sheep.
With all of this content coming out, what would you say is, off the top of your head, is the purpose behind your music? Like, when people listen to a song, what is in the back of your mind in the studio? Oh, I want this to pop up in your mind. What is your purpose behind your music?
For me, I think the biggest thing is just to have Jesus in your mind. I know, like, when I started listening to Christian rap, like, it helped me so much because the lyrics, the things that they were being said, like, Jesus was always on my mind every time I sung the lyric, every time I rapped the verse, like, Jesus was on my mind. So to have that goal for everyone to, like, when y'all hear a song, when y'all hear these things, like, know that, okay, Jesus is on your mind, you know, like, when you rap one of my lyrics out, like, oh, dang, that was, like, a biblical lyric, that's Jesus, you know, and to remember these things, and also to, like, just have, like, to just keep that consistency in your faith, you know, like, I feel like when I would listen to secular music, it would kind of throw me off, you know? So, like, having that consistency to, like, have something to listen to that's fire, you know? And also, like, one of the biggest, like, another mission is, like, I don't want to be a regular Christian rapper, you know? I want to be different. I want to stand out, but not for my own sake, but to show that, like, God has made, like, God has put something in me that's not the same as everyone else, you know? Like, God has gifted me, and God is wanting to use me for this, you know, and it doesn't even have to be me, because at the end of the day, like, I'm gonna die one day, I'm gonna pass on, and there's gonna be the next person, but right now God has gifted me this, and I want to share it with the world, and I want people to know that, like, the things that I do can only come from God. Like, this, I couldn't have done this on my own strength, and I want to show the world that, like, it's that ministry and music are the same, and that you can operate however you want as a Christian rapper. Like my plans in the future are big, you know, the things that I have, the ideas that I have in my mind when I continue to pursue music are so different, but they're big and they're important. And when God decides to reveal those things, and when those things start operating, starts happening, like, they're going to know, like, oh, that's God, you know. That's the only way, for sure.
Yeah, and keeping Jesus on your mind as the main subject. And when I got introduced to CHH music, it was actually, ironically, from Billy Graham. I was watching, just watching Billy Graham's preachings, and then I was actually watching this on my next Xbox, right? And then a Lecrae documentary popped up with, like it was like a Lecrae edited with Billy Graham speaking in the background with Lecrae rapping and stuff like that. It was pretty dope. And I listened to it. Cool. And that was my first introduction to Lecrae from Billy Graham. So,
yeah,
from your point of view, people are having first introductions to even Christ, period, via you.
Yeah.
And extending off of that purpose, with your music, how are you valuing that first introduction? Like, do you stress, like, well, not really stress, but do you, like, pay much attention to detail to get everything to be this first impression, a great impression? Like, how are you walking through your music and in the production value and just, like, taking that as far as people's first introduction to God?
No, for sure. For me, like, I don't try to make my music too complicated, you know? Like, something that I learned from just being in ministry, being with pastors and stuff, is like, when they preach, like, there's these three sets of audience that they wanna help.
Yeah.
The people who don't know Jesus, right? And then the people who know Jesus but are far away right now, and the people who are Christian, if like they don't really need help, but like they need God, you know, like just the people who are already Christian. And when I write my music, when I write the songs, like I think about that, like, okay, like this bar right here, like, okay, this bar is going to be for someone who doesn't really know Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, or this bar is going to be for someone who is already in the church and knows Jesus. Or this bar is going to be for people who feel far away right now, you know?
Yeah.
And for example, like if I write a bar, it's like, Jesus saved me, he could save you too, something like that. Like just pointing back to somebody, like those are for the people who don't know Jesus, like sound like, oh, dang, he did this for you, you can do it for me too, you know? And then for like another bar, it's like, if it's something like biblical, like something that's just like very biblical, you have to read your Bible to know it. That's more for like people who like are Christians already. And then people who feel far away, like one thing I like to do is just like give my testimony, like, or like just say like real stuff that I go through. Like when I talk about songs, or like, Lord, I feel like I don't know you, or Lord, I feel like, Lord, I feel like I'm not loved. So like when I talk about these things in songs, like those are for people who feel far away right now. And I try to keep those three audiences in mind when I make songs, of like, who can this affect, you know, who can this impact? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's one of the most important. And then like, obviously the production value, like I try to make it as good as I see it, you know, and I'm still learning right now, like learning different techniques and learning these different things to just make songs sound better. Cause like, I don't like, at the end of the day, like the first thing you're hearing when you hear a song is the way it sounds. Like you're not going to hear about Jesus the first bar. You're not going to hear like, you're as soon as the song plays, when you hear the beat, when you hear like the first ad-lib, the vocal, like the first thing you're going to hear is the quality of the song. And if I want people to hear the song and be like, and wanting to listen to it, I have to make the quality peak. I can't let it be like slack, you know? And I feel like God doesn't like, I don't want to present God's word in how do I say it, in slack or in like a bad way, in excellence. So when people hear, they're like, oh, they already love the quality. Now let me listen to what's about to be said, you know? But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So coming to the end of this conversation, I give this moment for you just to speak freely. It doesn't even have to be a part of what we mentioned today, but I just want you to say maybe an encouraging word to your audience, maybe just a testament of anything that's happened. Just speak freely to your audience, or just encouragement to start music, just anything that you want to say to your audience.
Yeah. One thing that I know is like, run your own race, you know, like God is giving you a call, you a plan, you an idea, you something that he hasn't given everyone else. And if we get a goal of trying to figure out what everyone else is doing and try to do that, then we are going to walk away from the thing God is calling us to do in this season, you know? And I feel like for me, like being surrounded by people who were going into ministry, becoming pastors, who were doing all these different things, I always felt like because they were doing this, I wasn't doing the right thing. But just because someone's doing something different doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. God just called you to do something different, you know? And I've said that before. But I just really want that to stick with you. Like, do not expect your call to look like everyone else's call, you know? Mm-hmm. God is giving you something, and God has put something in you that's unique to you. And if he wants you to walk in that, then walk in that, you know. Don't be discouraged because people are in different areas doing different things, or people are farther ahead of you. But if you see that there's people farther ahead of you, learn from them to get far, you know. Learn from them. Surround yourself with people who are ahead of you, you know, because that's how you get better. Like, I remember somebody, like, it was one of my professors again, were talking, and they were saying, like, would you rather be the worst player on the best team or the best player on the worst team? And it's really like, if you're surrounding yourself with people who are better than you, that's the best way to progress. But if you want to be the best surrounded by a bunch of people who are least than you, then you're never going to get past that line, you know? And really, I just want like my fans and my community to know that like, surround yourself with people who are ahead of you, but don't feel like you have to be like them.
Well, that was such an amazing conversation with Isaac Mansfield. Look, we talked about so many things in this interview that honestly, I kind of want to expound on some of it. Like, when we're going through our lives and we're trying to figure out our purpose and we're trying to dive in, we have those times where life is just not that well. And we really are just looking for our purpose. We're really just searching for something. We're really going through adversities in our lives and we don't know how to get over these things. Well, I want to tell you something. I've been there. Like me as an artist, as a Christian artist, a poet, someone who is building this narrative of what God has called me to be, walking and operating in my purpose, I often face adversities. You're not the only one. And I want to let you know that here on Broken Minds, we already have you covered with a platform called Uncut Demeanor, where Stephen Long goes into his raw, uncut, just absolutely truth about his life and what God has brought him through. Hey, I just want to let you know that God is always with you and God is always around you. So let's just tap into Stephen Long right real quick with Uncut Demeanor. Hey, listen to this.
Then a couple weeks later, I get a phone call from some friends in Los Angeles. One of my friends that I was pretty close with, he got killed due to some gang violence stuff. And I was just like, okay. My grandfather just passed. Another one of my friends just passed. Like, bruh, what is going on? Like, this is ridiculous. Now I'm like having troubles of waking up and going to work because I'm just depressed. I'm feeling all this pressure on me. I'm trying to get around my son to like try to cheer myself up, but it's like I don't even really want to be around my son because I feel like I'm just dragging this depression around and I don't want my son to see me like this. I don't want to be around him like this. I don't want him to feel all the things that I'm feeling. You want to be a vessel, but can I use you in the midst of your storm and your trial and your tribulation? You want to be used as a vessel and go to the next level. Okay. It's easy to be a good vessel when you in comfort. It's easy to be a good vessel when everything is smooth butter. But can you be a vessel in the midst of your trial and tribulation? Can you trust me in the middle of your trial and tribulation? Because everything that I am doing right now is building you for the life that I have for you. Son, this is just the start of it.
Y'all, that was so amazing. God has really done a work through Stephen Long. And when I tell you, when you dive deeper into this podcast, you are going to find things about Stephen Long that you never have known. It might surprise you, but it's gonna like creep up on you and say, whoa, that was real. Whoa, that was uncut. Whoa, that was a little too vulnerable for me. Hold up. Well, let me tell you something. You have the very same truths in your heart, and it's just you searching it out and being raw and being uncut and being true about what God has made you to be that makes all the difference. Hey, I want to tell you today that 100% vulnerability goes the long way. And once you walk into your one true calling that God has positioned you, you are going to be an absolute menace to the kingdom of darkness, and you are going to change minds and you're going to shift perspectives all over the place. Well, I thank you guys for listening to today's interview conversation. Come back next week. We're going to be having another interview and we're just going to be praising God through everything. But I just want to end in a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you. We praise you for everything that you're doing in this day. Lord Jesus, as we walk through our day, as we go through the things that we have to process and we have to go through, give us a sound mind, give us direction, give us a heart of compassion for every single person who's around us. Lord God, give us what you want us to walk into and not ourselves leading our path. Lord God, direct our steps in everything that we do. Lord Jesus, I pray on the behalf of every single person who's listening to this right now that they will receive joy like they've never seen ever. That the joy of the Lord is their strength, and honestly, I believe it. But right now, Lord Jesus, I pray for you to just encompass them in your spirit right now, Lord God, and carry us through the rest of this day. And I praise you and I honor you and I glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, thank you for listening to the Broken Minds Podcast. Two things. Don't forget to join our group chat, our community. Look, we got a daily community. It's honestly, I'm going to warn you. Like, if you join this community, you're going to have 100 messages within an hour span. Like, it's that active. And I'm just warning you. So if you jump in and then jump out, it's not my fault. But anyway, secondly, join the newsletter where we post content on each and every episode, just like this episode that you're hearing right now has a newsletter attached to it. So jump down in the description and read that newsletter because it's going to bless you so much. But I will see you guys in the next episode. Love y'all. Peace.